Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're bringing in a baller in Ben Standig. Chris Miles, Aaron Hawksworth here. So apparently, former Georgetown head coach John Thompson III is in the running for the George Washington job. But how far in the running? Is he the front runner?
I was excited and shocked when I saw that.
Let's bring in Ben Standig to answer those questions for us because he's the one that had the article on NBCSportsWashington.com. Ben, what's the latest with JT3?
First of all, it's an honor to be with both of you. I did not know Aaron was on, so that's a whole game changer.
No, Ben, we have a new name for her. It's Aaron. We've decided tonight it's no longer Aaron Hawksworth. It's Aaron. That's what she wants to go by. Are you with it, or are you in or out on that?
Is there some sort of like a dating component to this? It could be.
What just?
We're shipping the names here. Is it like a shipping thing, or are you just literally changing her name?
I don't know. What?
Let's just talk about John Thompson.
Yeah, let's go back to JT3. I don't know what just happened.
But actually, right. I love Ben. No, we're just being silly. He's trying to rename me. It's nothing.
Yeah, we were
important.
Playing the name game, and she was in on the Aaron from the skit.
Have you seen the Key and Peele skit?
I have not.
Oh!
Don't hate me.
I'm
going to send you the link, and everything we just discussed will all make sense at some point.
Ben Standig went, did that happen in a basketball game? If it did not, no, I did not see it. So stick it to your area of expertise. What's going on with John Thompson III?
So, I mean, I think first and foremost, he's ready to get back in to coaching after being away for 2 years. I mean, that was my sense all along. He said as much to The Athletic the other day in an interview. So I think that's the first step. So when you hear his name mentioned in any rumor, it isn't just the hypothetical, hey, this guy used to be a coach. Now, why not him? He's interested in getting back in. As for this job specifically, obviously George Washington just fired their head coach, Maurice Joseph, on Friday. JT3's got the local ties. This school has, they're looking to make a splash of some sort. Not saying they're going to make a crazy hire, but GW, the last 3 years have been rough following the turmoil at the end of the Mike Lonergan era, and they're ready to move past that. I think that's part of the play with making the coaching change. And look, I mean, JT3, obviously the track record speaks for itself. I know sometimes people focus too much on the end, but they ignore the great winning percentage, 3 Big East titles, basically winning seasons year after year until the very end, putting guys in pros, things along those lines. And it makes a lot of sense. Is he the front runner? I couldn't say for sure. The one thing I would note is that the big question for me would be the budget. What kind of money is GW willing to spend? When you look at some of the numbers in the A-10 conference, they're right near the bottom of in terms of spending on the program. And JT3, obviously at Georgetown, was putting a lot of money into the program. So to me, that's an interesting question: is how much is GW really looking for? Or looking to make a splash in terms of building up this program. If they are, then he makes sense. If they're not, then some of the other names that were mentioned in there, the head coach at Bowling Green or Louisiana Tech or maybe even a Ryan Odom at UMBC, guys who are interesting coaches but are not going to cost you the same as probably what JT3 would look for in a program.
Getting JT3 would be a huge get for that school and program. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think it is?
I don't know if I'm ready to put a number on it, but okay. I would just say that I think there isn't just a pie in the sky hope. It's not just me saying, hey, if Mila Kunis breaks up with Ashton Kutcher, I'd like to date her. I think there's an actual chance here.
That was amazing. I loved that.
So, I mean, I think to that end, I think there's some hope. And I think, like I said, probably, at least for me, it comes down to, I mentioned that monetary component for sure. But, yeah, other than that, it makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. I think the other factor is, you know, it's very early. The NCAA tournament's obviously only starting tomorrow, effectively, but, you know, really on Thursday. And from that, we all know how this works. Some team, some random mid-major will jump up and make the Sweet 16. That coach becomes a hot commodity. He goes to some place or some school, you know, loses in the first round. They get tired of their situation. They fire their coach, and all of a sudden, now there's a carousel going on. And, you know, it's conceivable if KG3 is, you know, all back in, which, like I said, I believe he is, there could be another opening that comes up that he finds more appealing. But obviously this one's got a lot of interest because of the fact that it's local. This is my take on this, at least, that it's local. And, you know, they need to do something. And, you know, he would make a lot of sense.
If he doesn't end up at GW, are there other options for JT3 right now? Because if he's interested in getting back, there should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just a matter of, you know, what schools are opening up. Like, for example, like Texas A&M just opened up. That's a Big 12 school. Do I see JT3 moving there? Probably not. But, you know, you look at there, you know, which coach takes that job? I think there's been some mention, like Buzz Williams in Virginia Tech has been out there. Like, if he takes that, then what, you know, who gets the Virginia Tech job, and then what opens up from there? So I think a lot of things just depend on where we're at in the next, you know, couple of weeks, in terms of what other opportunities develop for sure. But, you know, look, I would suspect he'd be in demand at a lot of places. You know, one thing that's interesting, having covered him for many years, he used to give us grief. We would always talk about, hey, who, you know, a player at a certain position, this guy's a power forward, or who's going to be your point guard, or whatever it is. And he would get so annoyed because he would often prefer to talk about positionless basketball. And we're all like, yeah, whatever, who's your point guard? But now we're in this era of positionless basketball, basically, right, where you see a lot of teams where it's just five guys on the floor and you kind of figure out, you know, you go from there. So there's things that he did that were ahead of the curve, and I think sometimes that gets lost because of, again, how things ended. But at the same point, you know, he did a lot of good things. He believes he's learned lessons over these last 2 years in terms of how to, you know, correct the errors of his ways, I guess, towards the end. And, you know, it'll be certainly interesting to see what he can do.
I guess switching gears now, looking at the bracket and the fact that Maryland back in the NCAA tournament, what, fourth time in 5 years, and Turgeon has done a good job at keeping this team going back to the NCAA tournament, but what do you see as being the biggest hindrance from them advancing? I mean, you look at some of the guys who've played on these teams, Jake Layman now doing well with the Portland Trailblazers, Kevin Herter looking good as a rookie, Alex Lynn starting to come to life also in Atlanta, so a lot of the guys that he's coached are now looking good as pros, and the program is looking really strong, but not really getting past the tipping point.
Well, look, I'll be honest. I would look, you know, the players ultimately the ones on the court, and you got to put some, you know, focus on them. But, you know, I think the biggest question for me, and probably most Maryland fans at this point, is the head coach himself. If they get Belmont in the first round, and I know people say, oh, Maryland against Belmont, wherever that is, go, you know, Maryland's going to win. I would tread lightly. The coach of Belmont is a monster. Rick Bird. He's been down there forever. He gets that team in that conference to be right at the top almost every year. From a tactical standpoint, I would suspect that Belmont has the advantage. And to me, that's the tricky part. You know, does Turgeon, what are Turgeon's adjustments? I mean, that to me has always been the question. Things start happening in the game. Does he know how to turn, to pivot, to adjust to what the other team is doing, or what a weak particular weakness is, or whatever it is? And I think that's going to be huge. You know, beyond that, obviously, look, you need, you know, you got to get the shots to fall. You need Bruno Fernando to be consistent inside, especially just in terms of rebounding and blocking shots at the rim. If you know, he can do those things. I mean, Maryland's got talent. But like I said, for me, the questions on the sideline, I think, are probably the biggest ones for Maryland fans going into this tournament.
So this is the most important question. It's a serious question.
Oh, boy.
How is Arizona State going to do in the first four?
James Harden is not coming through that door.
which tournament are they in?
First four, Arizona State, St. John's.
Well, I've seen St. John's play this year, and I just mentioned the coaching. If Bobby Hurley can use that whiteboard thing they have there to draw up some good plays, I think they should be good. I don't think Chris Mullins particularly adept at that. I asked Chris Mullen when they were here for a Georgetown game. They won, and I was asking him. You know, he's been doing this 4 years, Patrick, doing 2 years. I sort of said, hey, what did you kind of learn over the 2 years that you have on Patrick Ewing? And his actual answer in the press conference was, that's all overrated. It's just a matter of you have to have good players. Coaches will pretend that we know what we're doing, but it's just about the players. And based on that, I kind of worried about St. John's. So,
all right, my Sun Devils making a push.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, I don't know what the spread is. Shamari Ponds, guard him. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's a first-round pick.
Those
guard him
Ponzi
if I'm Arizona
schemes,
State.
Baby. Speak that Shamari to me. Say it again, Ben Standing. That who guy? What's his name again? Ben, you there?
Who, Aaron? What,
no,
who?
Shamari Ponds, man.
Shamari Ponds.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I was thinking about Aaron's name again.
Oh no, that's Aaron. We don't call it. It's Aaron.
Aaron.
You know, before we let you go, one more thing that's been a topic of discussion. I know it's the wrong night for that, considering how Bradley Beal played. But look, the Wizards are not going to make the playoffs. That's where I'm at now. A week ago, I thought they still had a chance. There's just no way now. I mean, there's just too much ground to make up, too little time. And with the Wizards having a losing record, do you think Bradley Beal could possibly make an All NBA team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at, you know, we were talking about this earlier, right? So we got Steph Curry, James Harden, that's got to be your first team.
Ding.
Kyrie Irving, Dame Lillard, maybe Russ, like two of those three are the second team. The other one becomes the fifth guard. So now you're looking at who would be the last guy. And, you know, I don't know, Kemba Walker would certainly be in the conversation. Bradley Beal, some might say Ben Simmons. Obviously I'm probably slightly biased in the sense that I watch Bradley Beal the most, so biased in that respect, and he's just been unbelievable. To me, seems like I won't say a no-brainer, but I could absolutely see Bradley Beal get in. Of course, if he does, that completely crushes the Wizards because of the Supermax situation that comes with that, mm-hmm. and that's a whole other thing. But look, in terms of just simply making it, I mean, Beal's been tremendous. I know the Wizards are, like you said, it's not looking great for their playoff hopes, but, you know, they've basically been a 500 team since John Wall and Marquise Morris last played, and, you know, that to me is mostly due to Bradley Beal's his play, his demeanor, his game-in, game-out attitude that he brings, because this team, you know, probably shouldn't even be at that level with all the changes that he's made, but he's kept them competitive, and I think a testament to him beyond just the statistics.
Who do you have winning the MVP this year? Speaking of Arizona State, James Harden.
Giannis.
I know.
I think I got.
Is it a
two-man
race? No, you're going Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis. I mean, he's just unbelievable. I mean, it's probably unfair to Harden on some level. Because of the fact that, you know, we all sort of don't want to keep picking the same guy, and he's been up there the last couple of years. And he was, James Harden was so unbelievable during that stretch when he was scoring, you know, 8,000 points a game, and they had no people.
Yes.
Literally they were picking up guys off the street to start almost.
He still has Wilt Chamberlain-like numbers.
He does. Very impressive. All that said, I don't have a vote, by the way. You don't have to sell me. But Giannis is just, you know, it's just a, you know, I was literally about to say he's a freak, and I was like, wait, that's stupid, because that's his nickname. But he's just unbelievable to watch him play. And, you know, the Bucks, I mean, the fact that Chris Middleton's an all-star and has had a very good year. But, you know, this isn't one of those situations like LeBron set himself up with the last few years where you have, you know, three guys who are top 15 players. It's Giannis and a bunch of other guys who are pretty good. But to be, you know, where they are in the East and to, you know, to be considered a legit contender, even to Golden State, then I think that just shows us how great he's been this year.
So, Ben, just a final question. What games are you covering the rest of the week? Because I know you'll be somewhere.
Let's think. Tomorrow's not a game, but I'm going to the Maryland media availability before they jet off to the NCAA tournament. Wednesday, I'm debating if I'm going to the Georgetown NIT game or just watching the Wizards at the Bulls. And then the Wizards are back in town this weekend. And then next week, we got the NCAA tournament here. And somewhere in between, I'll catch a nap, I hope.
All right, Ben Standing, all of his information.
Thanks, Benjamin. I miss his articles.
His insight on NBCSportsWashington.com. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Chris, don't talk over Aaron. She said she was missing me. That's more important.
I don't know who's worse, you or Slick Vic. Both of you guys have got some real crushing going on over here for the Hawk.
Aaron's my TV wife, that's all.
Yes.
we're going to have to take a Twitter poll on this one. Slick Vic or Ben Standing. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, man. See you guys.
Bye, Ben.
Chris Miles and the Hawk, you're listening to Overtime. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now we're going to do production on the radio. I want to run back that D'Angelo Hall when he said, we talked about the quarterback situation at 8:52. So you and I, let's talk about this for a second. Because D'Angelo Hall, who we had on earlier, said a lot of important things about the Redskins and their future. And one of those things was the quarterback situation, and he's leaning Colt McCoy.
Well, when he said Colt before Case, I was like, wait a second. I didn't know that was like an assumed thing, and then we asked him more about it. And he likes the fact that Colt is very familiar with his offense and kind of gives him a leg up in the competition for that starting QB job. And while he did kind of say that he maybe thinks Case Keenum is a better decision maker at the helm, he kind of gives the edge to Colt McCoy, essentially. Isn't that what you heard?
Yeah, and he also said that he believes Case Keenum is a better, he makes better decisions.
Yeah.
He didn't use the terminology better quarterback, but I thought
no,
it was interesting.
Better decision maker or something.
Yeah, and I don't think a quarterback will be successful here unless they have someone they could throw the ball to. And I think we've all given up on Josh Doctson, but the best thing that could happen to this team is for Josh Doctson to get better. Let's play that D'Angelo Hall bite right now.
You know, I think Colt's familiarity with the offense will give him the advantage. Mm-hmm. I think his mobility will give him the advantage. I think Case might protect the ball a little better. But I just think the intangibles that Colt ultimately brings to the table will win him the job. I think Case, you know, if all things even, you know, I have to believe Colt's understanding of this offense gives him this, you know, gives him the advantage just all throughout camp and the offseason to be able to just make better decisions than Case. But I think Case is a better decision maker. So, you know, I could see both guys getting a chance to play during the season at some point. But, you know, both of the guys are ultimately the same type of quarterbacks.
Do you agree with that? Do you like that?
Yeah, I could see that. The other thing for me is one issue for Colt has just been, can he stay healthy? And that remains to be seen as well. But he played well for the Redskins. And there was even a time before Alex Smith was injured last season that fans and there was some discussions, should Colt be in instead of Alex Smith? So definitely don't sleep on Colt. And we all know D. Hall played with him. He's familiar with his skill set. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I just wonder if the Redskins are still going to bring in another QB, whether they draft one, you know, whether they still make a play for another guy. Is Teddy Bridgewater still available? You know, I don't know if that was a thing for a short period of time. They clearly don't have the cap space for that anymore.
You just want a little more insurance at that position.
I just want someone.
Well, there's only so much you can do when you don't have a lot of money to spend. Now, if they get lucky and draft someone, I guess, but it's just tough.
I think that the quarterback position, because of what happened at Alex Smith, is so tragic.
Yeah.
It really it messes up your flexibility there, that they have to adjust for a season or two with that situation. And I think you just have to accept a Colt McCoy or a Case Keenum for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow for a team that's building on defense, that will have a young running back in Darius Geis and will have AP on what I thought already was his last leg. So, you know, whatever else you can still squeeze out of him. It just seems like the priority has to be upgrading that wide receiver position.
Yeah, but if you don't have a good quarterback, like you were saying, does it matter that much?
And that's where it's like,
depend on your running game a little bit more and dink and dunks.
Like, how do you improve that? Because it seems like they had guys that were okay before. So what are we saying? If you get like a really talented wide receiver, what is that guy going to do? He's going to bark at the quarterback.
Totally. And if he's not getting the ball, I mean, if the guy doesn't have a strong arm and you've got some speedy receiver who's getting downfield, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, so it just seems like...
it's a waste of money, too. I mean, you've got some stud receiver who is always open, but the quarterback can't get him the ball. It's like, well...
and that's why I'm wondering, but I think the draft will be great to watch for the Redskins to see what they do there. And in how they put this offense against the defense has come along. I really like where they are now, personnel-wise. And D'Angelo Hall said it. I mean, he said, I don't know about this team's
talent.
That's it.
You know, that was the first thing I was like, whoa.
We're going to go back to that as well when we return. You're listening to Overtime with Chris Miles and Aaron Hawksworth.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In case you're wondering what D'Angelo Hall is up to these days, trying to get back into coaching ranks, or trying to get into coaching ranks post-playing career, also hosting shows for NBC Sports Washington, Redskins, pre and post, doing a great job on
he's
that.
He's on NFL. He's been, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
He could pretty much do whatever he wants, but what stood out to me is his heart is now coaching.
Yeah, and you know why? You know why he can do whatever he wants? He's talented.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a key point that he brought up to us, was the fact that, remember, he was a playmaker. He was a guy that was ball hawking, excellent speed when he came out of college,
mm-hmm,
and continued to play well. I mean, when you get 4 interceptions in one game, I know that's just like a crazy thing to do. Pick off Jay Cutler 4 times.
You love bringing that
game
up.
I mean, it's just one of the most incredible things I've seen. And I like still have a picture in my mind of the day when it happened and thought, wow, this guy is just, he's incredible.
He's going to be an awesome coach, I have no doubt. And those players are going to be lucky to have him.
So one of the things, again, that he pointed to was the lack of playmakers. Let's listen to him.
Now, you tell me you don't think the players are behind Jay because they aren't winning games? Because I say they aren't winning games because they just aren't very talented. So we beg to differ on those 2 points. I think guys love Jay. I love Jay as a coach. He's such a cool coach. And I say cool because most fans and critics, when they hear – you know, a guy say a coach is cool, that means he gets run over. That's not the case at all. Jay's very fiery. Jay will jump your ass real quick and won't hesitate about it. What makes Jay cool? That's what makes a coach a player's coach. It's not that they're a pushover. It's that they're tough, but they can give it and they can take it. Like, I've jumped on Jay's ass plenty of times, and he's jumped on mine, and there's no animosity, no hard feelings. Hell, Jay interviewed me and almost hired me. That goes to show you is no animosity. That, to me, is the ultimate player type of coach. So, guys, love Jay. I just think we can be better in a couple different areas.
Well, let's start for – there's so much there. Mm-hmm. One, that he interviewed for a job with the Redskins, that he got into it with Jay Gruden, that he stuck up for Jay Gruden when I was kind of bashing him. Let's be real on that. I was sitting here saying negative things about Jay Gruden, and no. D'Angelo Hall said, yep, nah, you're wrong about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the actual numbers, because I like when guys bring up a point to support them with stats, right? Mm-hmm. So he said the Redskins lacked explosiveness and talent, And I think the numbers that point to that on offense are glaring last season. 28th in total yards, 29th in points per game. I mean, you really don't have to go past that.
Well, they also didn't have a quarterback.
They also didn't. Okay. It's so crazy because we could go down this whole thing.
I know. And we
like when,
did
when Adrian
before.
Peterson had 90 yards on one carry and didn't get the ball. I mean, I don't know what was happening. That's what, when I bash Jay Gruden, that's what I'm talking about, where I'm like, what's happening here? So you abandon the run game. I feel like they could win a little bit more, you know, in situations like this season. I think they could have salvaged it a little bit more from where they finished. But to D'Angelo Hall's point, how do they fix that void of talent on offense now? Because I think that they have the talent on defense.
Yes.
I think he didn't use the words, but I think what he was saying is they lack the talent on offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also, right after he said that, he was pointing out that he thought maybe some things could be changed in the scouting and front office and stuff too, right? Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
Like behind the scenes to maybe find better talent. I kind of thought maybe he was alluding to that. Yeah, I mean, we all know the Redskins' offense is an issue, which is funny because like 3 years ago, their offense was really good and the defense wasn't as good, and now it's kind of the opposite. So it's we heard that there was going to possibly be some splashy moves bringing in a wide receiver. They re-signed Brian Quick. I think we need to see what's going to happen in the draft and then maybe who else is available. But they really don't have a lot of options in terms of spending without doing something stupid that won't allow them to add some talented players that they need in other areas.
And I think that's the key where...
Like I think, even though Eric Flowers, sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Obviously, he's been a bust and disappointing.
He's here now.
But they've had so many injuries to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They really need depth there. There you go. It wasn't a bad deal, so why not?
And for Eric Flowers, for those that aren't up to the news today, signed 1 year, $4 million,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to move to guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in, drafted 9th overall, the first round of 2015, a whole round before Landon Collins. To be a left tackle in the NFL. That's why you draft a guy that high thinking he's going to be special. He's not that. Then he moved to right tackle. Spent a year at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you pointed to penalty, 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 penalties like his own Migos rap song. Okay? And now, yeah, it's just repetitive. Redundant is actually the word we're looking for there. He's going to move to guard to back up. Some positions that they've had some issues with injuries here.
Right.
But if the Redskins are healthy, they hope to not use him much. But judging from their history, they're going to have to go to Eric Flowers to run the ball as opposed to protect the quarterback, right? That's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't look at Eric Flowers as someone that's solving their devoid of talent on offense. You know what I mean? Like, they need someone. Like the A.J. Green thing was sexy. The Stephon Diggs. Ooh.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And I'm like, what would you give up for Stephon Diggs? Whatever you want. Go ahead.
I mean, like I said, I'm still shocked Josh Norman is here. That's a player that
I think.
So
break that down for us.
I just think that you could get something for him and use that to bring in some offensive weapons. You've got Quentin Dunbar. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's tough, I guess. I mean, if you really can't bring in another cornerback that you trust, it's too bad they didn't work things out with Bashaud Breeland, who, by the way, signed with the Chiefs today.
Hmm.
He was with the Packers.
So I wonder why they didn't come to terms with him.
Because when he was a free agent, what are you doing?
I'm trying to take a picture of my friend Travis Thomas and send it to him. He's on television right
I like
now.
Travis. That's my guy.
Continue.
He went on vacation and, like, cut his ankle, and everybody was curious about what was happening with it. And plus, he was going to command a lot of money, so after his rookie deal was up, they were just going to let him go.
Hmm. Well, I mean, now the Redskins just have to focus on how much cap space they have left and what they can do in the draft. And
Well, yeah, but that's the depressing thing about the situation.
I don't see it.
They're kind of handcuffed because they can't spend a lot of money. They invested a lot in Alex Smith. We all know how that went. And so they're handcuffed. It sucks, but it is what it is.
And
for
I think
now.
That point of like freakish injuries, Geis, Alex Smith, there's a case there from this past season. Like, yes, we get
Colt
it.
Colt McCoy.
Yeah. I felt like they weren't done. But I felt like they were done by that point.
Yeah.
It just felt like that was okay. We know it's over. But by the time Colt McCoy went down, it felt like
that was the dagger. Yeah.
Again, getting back to the Malcolm Gladwell book, The Tipping Point. That tipping point on the season had already plummeted.
Right.
That just was the, okay, we're here now. It's over. We all understand it. That's what it is. I'm just also concerned with Landon Collins' health this year. Rotator cuff surgery, coming back. First time
that's
he's been
tough.
Hurt.
Rotator cuff is kind of a sensitive, that's a tough one.
Here's the thing, too. For a guy that tackles, and God, it's a hard
and you
hitter.
Gotta like, you know, think it's, about how much he uses that rotator cuff, and it's you know, I don't know if you've ever had a rotator cuff injury.
I had rotator cuff surgery.
Oh well, do tell, because I think I injured mine last week.
Oh no, you would not.
I literally couldn't lift my arm past here over the weekend. It's actually I got a massage today and it's feeling better, but I think there might be something wrong with my rotator cuff.
Now, he's a professional athlete, and his recovery will be quicker. But 8 months of bands and just getting that thing loose to be able to lift, then 4 months of lift sets a year before I could jog or run or jump.
Oh, my God. So how did you get your injury?
Car accident. So the point that I'm making is, okay, NFL player, I'm told now, hey, watch the things you lift above your head. Watch the impact you have on your shoulder. And I'm thinking, man, how is this, you know? So we'll see with him. And I hope he's back. I don't know the severity of it in that sense as compared to, you know, my own personal situation. I'm not trying to do me search here as opposed to research. But
no, but
I'm
it puts
concerned.
It in perspective when you've been through something and you understand the injury. Because sometimes people just talk about, oh, he'll be back. He's a professional athlete. But these are human beings too.
And there's certain injuries, depending on your position in your sport, that I'm more concerned with. So, like a safety, I think the shoulder I'm a little concerned with.
Travis is wearing a suit. I just noticed why you wanted,
I know,
to,
that's
take
why
a
I wanted to take a picture.
Our guy's all dressed up.
He's shaved.
He looks so professional.
I didn't recognize
him. Really proud of him right now.
Who is that guy? Travis Thomas.
Oh, Travis. All right, back to the Redskins.
Actually, we have to take another break. When we come back, we'll have more on the Redskins and how they can try to fix their offense going into next season.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, Aaron. We were trying to figure out how to finish the show, and we were going to talk about some Redskins, and then we decided to go fun. And I have a question for you I just saw on the Twitter.
Uh-oh.
It is trending about Sesame Street.
What is it?
If you had to pick one Sesame Street friend stuck with you on a desert island. Now, here's my thing. If I'm on a desert island.
Oh, I already know mine.
Oh, who you got?
Cookie Monster, and it's a no-brainer.
Do you get the cookies with the monster?
I mean, he's fun, he's outgoing, big, so he could fight off the bad guys.
What? But it's a deserted island.
To try to
island.
Attack us on the island. What if someone tries to take over the island?
You
gotta fight people off and stuff.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Like the cookies could be weapons.
But he eats all the cookies.
And he's like big and fluffy so I can cuddle with him and
that's
he can keep me
is.
Warm at night.
But again, it's an island, right? Wouldn't it be warm? Huh? Okay, how about this? What about my man Tickle Me Elmo?
No.
He'd be
I
funny.
I would drown him because he's so annoying.
Wow. That
Big went. Bird could be legit.
I would say
Oscar the Grouch would be fun for like an hour, and then it'd be like, all right, you got to go. You're useless.
Oh, that was
Cookie
good.
Monster all the way.
You crushed that. I'm thinking about Cookie Monster. I'm like, so
now you're like jealous because I picked
well,
it.
Well, it's just if you're on a deserted island, then you should have an unlimited
amount
of
cookies. And you have cookies, yes.
That's what it should be.
And he's like a cool character.
Yes.
He likes to eat.
You're not going to have any food, though. He's going to eat it all.
So then I have to fight. Maybe like we can be buddies and he'll share his cookies with me.
So another fun thing happening, maybe a guy.
Then he would be the cookie friend, not the cookie monster.
Yeah, he'd be the
but
cookie
buddy.
He doesn't
buddy. Look like he's ever hurt anybody.
You know who's never hurt anyone? Gio Gonzalez.
But he's hurting himself right now.
So apparently the Yankees trying to sign him to a minor league deal. He's really gone down fast.
Yeah. Well, we saw some of those down times here in Washington.
10-11
You never really knew what Gio you were going to get.
No. 1 minute you'd be like, man, this guy's good.
Ballin'.
We can trust him. And then you're like.
The next you're like,
get
oh,
him out of here.
No. How
what?
Is he a starter?
He's ruining everything. We go back and forth on the Gio hate. It was bad. Bad Gio. And it's always when you really needed him to come through.
So what are the terms of this Yankees deal?
It looks as if.
He's headed to the minors?
Yeah, and that if he has a certain amount of starts, he'll get $3 million as his salary. But it's not a guaranteed major league salary.
One thing about Gio, though, really good guy. Really good guy, and he's done a lot for the Miami suburb that he grew up in. He gives back a lot, and he's always was a stand-up guy in the clubhouse, so I wish him well. And, you know, I guess we all kind of saw this coming. It's not too surprising, but it happened quicker than I expected it to.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if he was a good major league pitcher. You kept waiting to be great. Or could possibly be great at some point in his career.
Or be consistent.
And it just tapered off. So, again, we can get back to this Giants news we ran earlier, right? Giants GM, Dave Gettleman.
You love this news.
I mean, I'm going to just read some of these. Really and truly, you can win while you're building. He's trying to use the term rebuilding. And addressing the Odell Beckham trade, right?
Right.
Now, just a reminder for those who haven't been up to the free agency news with the New York Giants, arguably their three best players, Olivier Vernon, their best pass rusher, Landon Collins, Pro Bowl safety, and Odell Beckham, we know what he is, all gone in free agency this year. Via trade, Landon Collins just let go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy part is, I think everyone realizes that Eli Manning at 11.5 a year, overpaid, kind of trash. I mean, he was great. He's had a great career, but he's washed, right?
Yeah, he's one of those players I would have liked to see go out on top and be celebrated and have a proper farewell. You know, he gives his thanks to the city of New York, unlike Bryce did here. But now it's kind of like he's just becoming more trash and more washed.
But Gettleman doesn't agree with that. You ready to hear exactly what he said? The narrative that Eli is overpaid and can't play is a crock, I'm telling you. So at the end of the day, you have to say Gettleman is out of his mind as he knows what he's talking about when he evaluates players. That is really what it is. This is really where it's at, and it's okay. You disagree with me? That's fine. So he talks in the third person. Jeez.
I mean, as someone who wants to see the Redskins have success, I'm cool with that.
You should keep
talking that trash, Dave Gettleman.
He is turning.
Keep drinking that Kool-Aid.
He's
keep
turning the Giants
it.
Into the Redskins.
and I am here for
right
it all.
Right before eyes.
I am here for it all.
Josh Norman tweeted about this, remember? The Gettleman. Haha, prayer hands. I understand now why Josh Norman was so excited. Because Gettleman was in Carolina, right? Yeah, there you go. That's the connection.
Well, can't be loved by everybody.
And getting back to our topic earlier with you about Josh Norman, you didn't think he would be back this year.
I didn't. I thought the Redskins would try to get something for him, involve him in a trade, and maybe they've tried and we just don't know about
it. Is it too late to do that?
I don't think so.
Mm. So we'll play this. We're going to remember this. 10:53 on a Monday night. You and I were here. If they trade Josh Norman, I will give you all the attribution you deserve. How about that?
Perfect. I like it.
What we don't like, Wizards lost tonight to Utah Jazz.
I also don't like that I don't know when I'm working with you again.
We're going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to get some people on that, you know?
Yeah.
Make sure these people that schedule when people work, the bosses, make sure that we have our whole team together. We got Peanut Butter and Jelly. We got Slick Vic. What? What does PB&J stand for if it's not Peter?
There's Brown? No B in my name.
PJ, yeah, B. Not PB&J.
I'm from New York. B? There's a B in your name.
Ain't no B in my name. I haven't been called PB&J since like third grade.
PB&J.
How about pajamas? You going to throw that one out there too?
What are pajamas?
PJs.
Is that spelled with a G? What's going on here?
What?
Right? Pajamas. Who says pajamas? What is that?
A G would be pajamas.
Exactly. That's how outrageous that sounds. It's pajamas, man. Oh, pajamas. God.
Same difference.
Jamas?
No, man. Tomato, tomato.
Are we jamming?
We're jamming. What's going on here?
Thankfully, it's time to close out the show.
What does a PJ stand for?
Paul James.
Oh, you're like a Catholic school.
Very Catholic. That's how I was raised.
So we know you had fun yesterday. Are you Irish?
Oh, yeah. Was that yesterday? Was St. Patrick's Day yesterday? Oh, today is Monday. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess you did have fun over the weekend. Where's the ding? I'm pretty sure Landfill was like, my man.
it was an
event.
Solid day.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can remember yesterday. Where's my ding, man? What is happening?
All right, we got to say goodbye. I thought Vic said 10:55.
Oh, we went over.
We did. Love you, mean it. Till the
overtime,
next time.
Overtime, Chris Miles, Aaron Hawksworth, PB&J, my man Slick Vic. It's been real, people.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.